Stuff Just Read It podcast.
Marcus Smart is so good. Hayden. Brown. Got it. Shot a three.
Hello and welcome to the Celtics Reddit podcast. My name is Ben Vallis. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're doing well. It's official. Brad Stevens and the Celtics have hired their new head coach, Ime Udoka. Joining me to talk all about it is Jason, aka Celtics J. Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Good to be back, Ben.
Yeah, good to have you back. Look, let's just get right into it. Let's start with the initial Woj announcement. It was reported a few days ago that Udoka was part of the shortlist for potential head coach hiring for the Celts. Then earlier today, Woj tweeted, "The Boston Celtics are finalizing an agreement to hire Brooklyn Nets assistant coach Ime Udoka as the franchise's new head coach." Jason, just your initial thoughts and reactions to this one.
I'm loving this for, I think, a kind of unique reason here. One of the things that was always intriguing and exciting about Danny Ainge's tenure was how unpredictable he was. He was only predictable in that he was unpredictable in almost everything that he did. Draft picks, hiring staff, what have you. And so far, Brad's kept to the keeping everything close to the chest, not letting too many things leak out of the organization. But he's been doing the very anti-Ainge thing where he's being kind of predictable and just doing the sensible things, especially right out of the gate, right? Like moving on from Kemba's contract right off the bat, bringing in a solid contributor and veteran presence like Al Horford, going into this decision and just picking the solid choice here, the guy that by all accounts just seems to fit and check off all of the boxes. At different times, I haven't been super excited only because most of the stuff I've seen on the internet regarding Ime Udoka hasn't really showcased his personality very much, whereas a lot of the other candidates, on the other hand, have a lot of different video content out there. But I've seen other reports too where this is a guy that's not even really on Twitter. Like, this is a guy that's just really focused on the business at hand, which stands to reason given his tenure in San Antonio and his experience overseas. He's always been kind of a business first kind of player and now coach. I'm excited. It feels good. It feels like it's the right move. It seems like it's being fueled by good energy from our core players, and I'm about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it seemed like Udoka's name was, you know, pretty much in the ring from day one and always kind of the front runner is in terms of who people in general expected it to be. A Reddit user, AWalker17, wrote, "I believe Udoka was the guy who said he likes his bigs to dictate what the team does on defense. Horford seems like a guy I'd trust with that responsibility. Not sure about the others, of course," referring to Time Lord and Moses Brown there. You mentioned that it was the sensible and obvious hire. He does seem, apparently by all accounts, to be a defensive-minded coach. And you know, I think what we saw, especially last year, is it doesn't matter how talented your roster is. If your defense sucks, then your team essentially sucks. And so it's part of this sort of, I wouldn't call it a rebuild as far as the team is concerned, but sort of rebuilding some of the pieces around our core, getting a defensive foundation in there to support what they already do so well offensively, I think is a huge part about it. Woj also tweeted out sort of after the initial news that Udoka separated himself quickly in Brad Stevens' search process, including significant support from Celtics players who were impressed, like you touched on there earlier, Jason, with Udoka after working under him with Team USA in the Worlds. And it was also reported that the player axis, I believe they referred to it as, Tatum Brown and Marcus Smart was sort of consulted on this hire before it was made. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about these all three guys sort of 26 and under being consulted on what's a huge decision here for the Celtics and their team?
I don't think I've been shy about my feelings regarding Marcus Smart and the prospect of him being the starting point guard on this team moving forward. So I'm about this. Brad's making all of my dreams come true with all the feedback that's coming out, or rather the articles and news that's coming out right now. And it seems like Ime Udoka plays into that narrative a bit, where a guy like Marcus Smart makes a lot of sense for a coach with that defensive-minded mentality. It would seem like a tough sell for that new coach to come in and know that Marcus Smart's going to be shipped out. So I think this is a good indicator that Marcus Smart is going to be sticking around, and I'm really, really amped up to witness a defensive onslaught that will come from having Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and either of Al Horford or Robert Williams, and then insert whatever other player to make any particular lineup work. Like, that is going to be a force to be reckoned with. The question is, are they going to be able to move the ball on offense? And that's going to come down to who does Ime Udoka surround himself with as assistants to help, you know, flush out that offensive, you know, system and design. I know in San Antonio, he did a lot of work with that, you know, motion, read and react kind of offense, which plays into a bit of, you know, Brad's philosophy that we've gotten familiar with to this point. So, you know, again, he seems to kind of match what the Celtics are doing. He seems to match the culture dynamic that they've been building here over the last, you know, couple of decades. It's really great to hear that Brad is getting that feedback and insight from those three players. And I love that Marcus is being included in those three players, because I think this is a great year and season for Marcus to really showcase everything that he's capable of doing on the court. Cause I don't know that he's always had that opportunity. I think he's always had to utilize his versatility to get minutes on the floor. And he's so damn good that you can't talk yourself out of putting him on the court, regardless of how he's shooting on any given night. So that he gets an opportunity to be a feature point guard on this squad, I'm elated. And maybe I'll end up being wrong. Maybe a lot of the folks talking about trading him as the most valuable asset now will be proven right. But I'd rather Marcus let me down in this regard than us not give him the shot, because I feel like he has earned that. This guy has bled green from the day he's been drafted.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they consulted him in the first place or at all is probably a good sign that he will be sticking around. But having said that, he is basically part of the furniture there. He's the longest tenured Celtic. You know, perhaps they're just asking him because he has a general set of expertise on the franchise. Who knows? Like, maybe they'll move him anyway. But, you know, he's only played under Brad Stevens in the NBA for his, you know, his longer tenure there. So it's going to be interesting to see how another coach utilizes him with that same squad. And just in general, like, I think, you know, for me and a lot of people listening, that things that keep you up at night, you know, if you were to make a top five list, somewhere in that list is the idea that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown might one day leave the Celtics organization. To hear that they're being consulted on this and that we're hiring a coach that sort of is compatible with them and their desires for, you know, what that role might look like, is really promising. You mentioned his sort of his offensive strategies there. So there was an interview that I caught just before recording here that was done by Coach Nick on YouTube, where it kind of covers off on some of Udoka's coaching strategies. So he does emphasize an ice heavy defense that he, or at least while they were in San Antonio, called the push defense, where they, you know, as ice defenses work, where they look to prevent the middle drive and force attackers baseline. Offensively, the focus is more of an motion offense, read and react. So very similar to the Brad Stevens approach there. But in the interview that I saw, he talked about how that style of offense is much easier to coach for the young guys, because the Spurs at the time had vets like Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, to help with that learning process. Like, how do you see him implementing that kind of offense that we clearly had difficulty with Brad Stevens this year in that lack of sort of veteran presence? How do you see him employing that, you know, while essentially facing the same problems that we still have a relatively young roster there?
I think Al Horford is a real key difference maker here between what we saw last year, both offensively and defensively, and what we're going to see this upcoming season. And that's not to suggest that Al's going to like be all-star level Al again, because that's obviously going to be asking too much. But we're bringing in a guy that understands and has seen that read and react offense work effectively, especially under Brad Stevens. And when you're running that kind of offense, it's really advantageous to have a guy like Al in the post or high post navigating a lot of those actions, whether it's coming, you know, coming off that pop and being able to either take that open three there or attack that closeout and get in the lane and make decisions from there. For all the talk that we often have about Robert Williams being such a phenomenal passer, the one area where he always can stand to improve right now is decision making, right? Like, the talent, the born natural talent is clearly there. But the decision making that comes from experience and all of that, that's what we want to kind of see from Rob taking that next step. And so having a guy like Al there to kind of help develop that and move that along, this could also speak well for a guy like Grant Williams. Now, I think Grant is probably closer to, you know, semi Ojeleye lane right now than he is Rob Williams lane. So, I mean, we'll see if he ends up sticking around. But, you know, a guy that is very able to see and read and understand the game in real time, where it doesn't move too fast for him, I think it gives him at least as fair an opportunity as he's had to this point to showcase his talent and his abilities. So I think bringing back Al is a big part of what can help make that offense sing a little bit again for the Celtics. And I think Marcus is just an underrated and underappreciated facilitator. I don't think he's really had that opportunity to be that feature guard, and I'm excited to see what he does with the opportunity.
Yeah, and certainly with Grant Williams, like you don't have to watch him very closely to see him like barking out orders on defense. We saw
it's like he's born for it. Like, you know, he's got great energy.
Yeah, we saw Rob growing into that sort of role as well, as he sort of became a more mature defensive anchor there. So if that's the angle that Udoka likes to take with his, at least the defensive side of his coaching, I do think we have some good pieces there that will fit. But it's going to be interesting to see.
That'll work out well for those folks that have always been pining for that KG dynamic on defense to come back, because that was kind of KG's role too, where he was back there calling everything out to the guys on the perimeter. So, you know, not to say that Rob is ever going to really replicate what KG did on both sides of the ball, but that he's coming with that kind of energy speaks well to, you know, where he's at in his development and what he's got to look forward and we have to look forward to as fans.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of other Reddit comments here very quickly. So Klopp on wrote, "Not going to lie, I fist pumped. He's been my number one choice since Brad stepped up to the president role there." And Halal Cornflakes writes, don't know much, but from the looks of it, he seems like a good appointment, good relationship with our main guys, defensive minded, and from a couple of interviews, looks like a decent speaker and one who demands performances. So I did a bit of a Reddit sort of deep dive, trying to find, you know, any sort of negative responses to this. There are a few people who wanted a more established, you know, prior head coach, someone like Rick Carlisle, appointed. Doesn't seem like Brad's style to do that. And really the style of the league sort of seems to be pivoting in, you know, it's a player dominated, player controlled league, to put someone in there who, yes, has that Popovich pedigree, like we've talked about multiple times, but also already has those pre-existing relationships with the players and the ability to cultivate new relationships with the younger players. Just seems like a win-win. So I couldn't really find any negatives. With that, are there any negatives that spring to mind for you?
Well, with the Rick Carlisle thing, I mean, if we really want someone to yell at inanimate objects, we could probably see if Clint Eastwood's looking for work right now, right? I think a lot of that is, a lot of folks are holding on to an older era of the NBA community and culture, and it just seems like the Celtics organization is not holding on to that. You know, it's looking forward, it's looking at this player-centric league, and I don't think that that's as much of a bad thing as sometimes it's getting painted as. I think we're seeing empowered players, and I think as long as organizations are creating stable organizations and community focused cultures for their players to feel comfortable, to feel welcomed and supported, then they're going to have success and players are going to want to be there. I see this as nothing but good things for this organization.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there a one that got away for you, like a coaching candidate that you would have preferred?
I'm hoping at some point we get a little bit more insight into what happened to Sam Cassell as a candidate, because not only did he not really get discussed with regards to this open coaching vacancy, but his name hasn't really come up with regards to any of them. So I don't know if maybe he's just keeping a really low profile because he's got his own things that he's kind of leaning towards or aiming for, or if maybe he's just not feeling ready, or others aren't thinking he's ready. I'm not sure, but I'm really curious to know what happened, because right off the jump, he's the first name everyone was talking about. And I was excited. Like, everything that I was hearing and seeing really made him out to be a really prime and an interesting candidate. So I don't know that it's like one that got away necessarily, but I would really like to get more insight into what happened to his candidacy. Again, not just for the Celtics position, but all of these open vacancies right now.
What'd you make of Jay Williams' take on this being the first African-American coaching appointment for the Celtics?
He is clearly a consummate professional. He's a consummate professional.
Is that word again?
There it is. I had to bring it. Oh, man. So he got hacked, but noticed it within like 5 seconds and deleted it because he was so aggressively hacked. And then like, what, 3 or 4 hours later, you know, let everyone know that it was just a hack job. I mean, it was a hack job as far as take goes, but
yeah, I'd like to break that down, because he mentioned, you know, he changed his passcode. So in that sense, the hack means that someone gained physical access to his device, knew his passcode, And then of all the things to do on his phone, went and reacted to a brand new news item in sort of like a weirdly specific way. Like it's such a obtuse way to troll somebody if you were to gain access to their phone. If I was to get access to Jay Williams' phone, you know, we've got this podcast going, I'd immediately be transferring his contacts over to my phone so we can get some new guests on. So many better things to do with that power. Unlikely story there from Jay Williams.
It'd be one thing if he had a track record of having some solid takes, but he has been batting zero
for a
little while now. Yeah, it hasn't been real pretty for a lot of these ESPN talkers. You know, it is what it is, but it didn't seem like a real solid job of trying to perform damage control in that one, because it doesn't seem like anyone's buying it.
Yeah, like just the deletion alone is like, okay, my bad. Like clearly that's an acknowledgement of I was wrong. I'm removing this from Twitter. That's fine. Talking about digging the hole deeper, like, he's just making it so much worse.
Yeah, just own it. Be like, listen, I got really reactive and excited about, you know, Ime getting this opportunity. I haven't been watching the playoffs and clearly don't know anything about Doc Rivers as a coach and his history. You know, like, just own it, roll with it, accept the fact that sometimes you take an L, and like, we can respect that because people make mistakes all the time. Like, that's not such a big deal. But, you know, but the thing is, like, everything's on, like, you got to have this super shiny reputation. You can't ever have a bad take or something. It's like, nah, like most of y'all are making your careers off having bad takes. Just own that stuff. You know, you get your facts wrong, chalk it up.
I mean, there's bad takes and then there's just like wrong takes. And this was just completely infactual.
That was a wrong take.
So not a good look, Jay Williams.
But, I did like someone put out a tweet that just completely schooled him shortly thereafter and just pointed out all of the different examples of coaches, black coaches throughout Celtics history, you know, from Bill Russell to all sorts of different milestones that the organization has been a part of for, you know, empowering people of color in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And it was after that Jay Williams had to come out with his I was hacked tweet. So again, it's like weird timing. If I were his PR person, but again, I'm not a PR person and I'll probably never get hired as a PR person. So I could be totally off on this take, right? This is one that I'm probably not going to be the best advice for, but I would think he would have had a better shot just owning that and being like, listen, I just reacted too quickly and said something silly. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where he takes it. If he tweets out again, explaining the circumstances of the hacking. Yeah. My child.
It's like that movie Swingers where the guy keeps calling over and over again. You remember that flick? Yeah.
You're so money.
You don't even know it. You're like this bear with these big claws.
So first thing I thought when I woke up to the news was like, okay, I want to know everything about Ime Udoka, because we didn't really deep dive into any of the candidates because, you know, we ultimately knew that only one of them was going to be hired and therefore only one of them was worth doing any research on. We have our guy now. So I'm just going to run through the bio. This is all taken from his Wikipedia page, so nothing fancy here. But Jason, just stop me along the way if you notice any points of interest here. So he's 43 years old. He was born in Portland, Oregon. He played for the Nigerian national basketball team. He did have an NBA playing career, starting at what was then the D League for the Charleston Logators, great name, in 2002. In 2004, he was called up to play for the Lakers, but was waived shortly thereafter and went on to play a stint in Europe. So that was again at around 2004. He was then redrafted back into the D League, this time for the Fort Worth Flyers. He was then signed by the New York Knicks in April of 2006, before again being waived in September 2006. He was then invited to his hometown Portland Trailblazers training camp before the 2006-07 season, where he impressed the coaching staff with his defensive skills and made the team back into the NBA. After having played in only 12 NBA games in his career, Udoka started in 75 games, played in the 2006-2007 season. He played 28.6 minutes per game while averaging 8.4 points, 3.7 rebounds, and just under one steal. He then went on to have a pretty successful NBA career as a defensive role player, playing with the Spurs, the Kings, and the Nets before finishing up his playing career in Spain in 2012. then began his coaching career with the Spurs, of course working under Greg Popovich, and won a title with the Spurs against the Heat in 2014, and since worked as an assistant for the Sixers in 2019, the Nets in 2020, and he's now a head coach here in 2021. But interestingly, Udoka was also the key for the LaMarcus Aldridge acquisition for the Spurs in 2015. They both played together in Aldridge's rookie year back in the Trailblazers days, so interesting stuff.
Yeah, I remember reading the article on that, and you know, the big thing for LaMarcus was the fact that Udoka like took that extra time and gave him that extra attention. Like, I think he flew out specifically just to see him. He's like, "What are you doing, man? Like, you didn't have to come all the way out." He's like, "Yeah, I did. I wanted to talk to you like face to face on this thing," and then helped reassure Aldridge of what his role would be on that squad and how he'd be utilized. And because I guess that was part of LaMarcus's concern, was if he was going to be able to still be the style of player that he had felt most comfortable being. Mm-hmm. A couple highlights that stood out for me that have come up of recent. And you know, John Krause is one of the hardest working dudes in podcasting. So like, this guy's out there, like he's doing some deep dives. So shout out to John Corrales and Locked On Celtics. Like,
he's like, you know, the James Brown of Celtics podcasts.
That man is working overtime. Okay. Like I got it. Like, yeah, you got to give the guy credit. But he brought up a couple of interesting points. One thing that came up on the sub, though, that I wanted to just bring up was, I guess he was part of a European Malice in the Palace type situation where there was quite the brawl. And what stood out to me was the note from someone else's perspective that was reflecting on it and noted that not only was Ime Udoka just housing people, and apparently like tallied one of the higher body counts in that brawl, but he was doing so very calmly, very calmly and almost politely. So I like to know that if he's going to whoop some ass, like he's going to do so with class.
Common crisis.
You know, he's going to keep his head about him. He's going to handle this thing methodically. And then I liked the deep dive that John Corrales was doing. Again, shout out to him and the work that he's doing on his podcast, because I don't want to just totally bite off him. But he spoke to the value of the experience that he built up working with that San Antonio team and being able to parallel that with the experiences that he's since seen in Philly, the positives and negatives there, as well as what he's now seeing over in New Jersey. Most especially that San Antonio team that lost to Miami and then came back the next year with a vengeance and got their win and got their chip. So having seen that kind of resiliency from a team that didn't meet that ultimate goal and then came back just as focused the next year and went after it again and got it, and then seeing teams fall short since, like teams built with stars, right, that had every reason to succeed and didn't quite get there. So he's got a really valuable perspective that I think is going to resonate really well with our guys. You know, because they're hungry. You know they're hungry. Tatum's hungry.
Yeah.
Jalen's hungry. Marcus, that man is starving.
Famished. Absolutely. I love that he's worked for multiple organizations and has that sort of well-rounded perspective there. I think that's really useful, as opposed to having worked under the wing of some head coach in some organization for 20 years and never having worked anywhere else. I think that's really important. I think we've pretty much covered everything. We've done the deep dive. We've done the bio. Covered Jay Williams. We've done the initial reports. Are there any other takes that you want to fire off here, Jay, before we wrap this one up?
Again, I'm loving this dynamic that Brad seems to be bringing. You know, I love that the guy's just bringing that same even keeled. It's like, if you remember his first couple of years, remember his tagline was kind of like, keep hitting singles, don't go for the home runs all the time. And like, those teams were really successful. Like, they were overachieving teams. And it seems like he's taken that mentality into this. Like, he's not hitting like grand slams necessarily, but he's like, just he's hitting these good singles, solid singles, getting on base and just moving along. I'm loving it. And like, the off season hasn't even started. Like, who is this guy?
He's a new president. He seems to be doing a good job.
Like, he's like, off season, I don't need no stinking off season.
In cricket, we'd call that keeping the run rate ticking over, just a few singles per over. But Jason, you're new to the podcast. You haven't heard Jackson and Joe and my own cricket takes too much yet and how they relate to the world of basketball, but I look forward to getting you familiar with that side of things.
I'm looking forward to getting schooled.
Look, that's going to do it for this one. Thank you for listening. Jason, love your work, mate. Thanks again.
Appreciate you, man.
All right. Well, look, I'm sure we'll be back with another pod soon, given how much of a gunslinger President Brad Stevens is proving to be. Outside of that, the Tokyo Olympics are now exactly 1 month away, so we can expect some fresh Tatum content in the near future. Until then, go Celtics. Peace.